Rainmaker FM. You're listening to The Digital Entrepreneur, the show for folks who want to discover smarter ways to create and sell profitable digital goods and services. This podcast is a production of Digital Commerce Institute, the place to be for digital entrepreneurs. For more information, go to rainmaker.fm/digital commerce. That's rainmaker.fm/digital commerce.
Welcome to The Digital Entrepreneur, everyone. I'm your host, Sean Jackson, and I'm joined, as always, by the illuminating Jessica Frick. Jessica, how the frick are you?
I'm illuminated, Sean. How the Jackson are you?
As always, I am well. So I want to share a story with you. You ready?
Oh, yes, I'm ready.
So the other day on the TV, my son had the Terminator movie on there, okay? And I was watching the movie. It's the one with Skynet, you know, and the machines kind of taking over and, you know, attacking the humans. And I was watching that and seeing how these machines were affecting our life. And it occurred to me that if the movie could make machines that kill off the human race, certainly we could have machines that enhance the human race. So I'm thinking that we should devote a little bit of time to all of the big changes that are happening in our space related to machine learning, as well as, since this is our show to kind of wrap up the mid-year, other factors that are changing in the online landscape that our audience needs to know about. What do you think?
I love it. We talked last week about how we were going to just have a conversation this week, not argue things back and forth, but, you know, that probably is going to happen anyway. But yeah, let's do it.
Okay. All right. So in the thinking of machines and how they're improving our lives as opposed to killing us off, hopefully. What is your thinking about that? What is a trend that you're seeing right now that our audience should be paying attention to?
Well, you know, Sean, last week we were talking about how this week we were going to discuss what's coming. And the biggest thing that I think is coming is that whole mindset change from, you know, there's an app for that to there's a bot for that.
Explain.
I think bots are becoming more and more relevant. I mean, obviously, Microsoft with, you know, Skype and Slack are betting big on them. But Facebook, too. Facebook Messenger has a ton of bots. And as I was, you know, researching this whole concept a month or so ago, I signed up for, you know, some cute bots on Facebook, and I'm really enjoying them. But I'm also seeing all the other applications that this artificial intelligence-esque functionality can offer to businesses. Like, for example, Domino's is now letting you order a pizza with a tweet. I mean, They've got bots to handle that. Taco Bell has a bot to order tacos.
There you go.
Companies are using bots to offer simple support.
Okay. Now, hold on for a second, though. In all these examples, it sounds scary because I, you know, probably am like many audience members. I'm not a programmer. I'm an online entrepreneur. How do I have to go spend money for this? What is going on? I know the machines are taking over, but I don't want to have to pay for that.
You don't have to with some of them. I mean, obviously, you have to know the prescribed response. Machines are learning our behavior, but they're not going to know how to answer a question unless you give them the potential answers or the potential questions. So, no, you don't necessarily need to know how to code anymore because there are plenty of companies that are betting big on this and they've created things to make it super easy. But there are also companies that are going to give you control to do bot V2.
Right. So what are some of the options that our non-programming inclined audience can take advantage of?
Well, I think the easiest one, if you're just starting out, would probably be ChatFuel. That's free. It's a Facebook bot, no coding. I mean, it's just something fun to try out if you've never like messed around with bots before. But if you're getting serious about it, you need to look at Motion AI. That's a really good one. And it's not super expensive. But that one gets into flowcharts, and it has the capability to be pretty advanced if you want it to be.
So what was the first one called again?
The first one is called ChatFuel.
Chat Fuel, and the second one is?
Motion AI.
You got it. Chat Fuel and Motion AI. We'll put some links to the show notes. All right. So, and I agree with you. I think that aspect of our engagement with our audience is something that we all as online entrepreneurs need to be thinking about, right? Because there are certain requests that can be automated. And the best part about the tools you talked about is you really don't have to be a programmer. I mean, in the case of Motion.ai, they have some advanced features that you can take advantage of, but out of the box, it's pretty easy. And Chat Fuel is very easy. And certainly, having those response mechanisms as a part of your online strategy, if you're not thinking about it today, you should take the summer to really take some time to think about it. All right. So here's mine. You ready?
I'm ready. What's yours?
So being an SEO guy, you know, forever, right? SEO was very much dominated by on-page factors, site factors about linking and things of that nature, and very much keyword specific, right? You use this term, et cetera.
Of course.
This year, and I'm going to say that what's really fueling it is the Amazon Echo device. And Google now has one. I think it's called Google Assist. But voice search is an area that I'm really getting fascinated by. And here's why. Voice search, which has been around actually for a little while now, I think is starting to get a lot better. Not only on the home devices from Google and Amazon, but also people on their phone talking to a search engine to inquire about a local place to eat, et cetera. In fact, the rise of voice-enabled searches is almost getting to the point where it's going to be more than desktop searches or phone-based manual type-in searches. Think about that for a second. So what does that mean for us as marketers? Well, I think that we really have to go back, as I've been saying for the past several months, and to really focus on the website that we have, our primary place where we have our presence on the web, and look at some of the content specifically around FAQs, frequently asked questions. You'll notice that both in Google and actually now in Bing, that if you put in a certain type of query, what is or how to, you'll notice these knowledge boxes that will come up in the search results. They are also some of the same knowledge boxes that appear on the Google devices, as well as can be extended into the Amazon Alexa environment. And this is, I think, an opportunity for marketers to really think through the questions that their audience are asking in the space they occupy and do it with an intelligent frequently asked question page, something that is properly marked up, as well as something that is not so salesy, but more informative in nature. Because if we see a rise in search from voice, those types of queries will be much more natural language, you know, how to, what is, etc. And the more content that we have on our site that can answer those questions, the better our ability to appear in a voice search mechanism. What do you think?
I think that's a fascinating concept, but I think all the traditional SEO stuff still matters because wouldn't Google still be looking to the other signals to figure out who has the best content?
Oh, I absolutely think that you're 100% correct, is that link factors and site authority and page authority and certainly all the other traditional factors that both are on page and on site and about site will still matter. But I also think that this gives us an opportunity as marketers to really, again, extend our content marketing program to really think through frequently asked questions as a method for us to start to engage with these more intelligent style queries, knowing that companies like Google and Amazon and certainly Apple at some point will be picking them up and displaying them in those remote devices. At the end of the day, what's the worst that can happen? You help answer some questions for your audience, and that isn't a bad thing at all.
No way. No way. And if you have kids anything like mine, they're not even typing anymore.
Oh, no, they don't type anymore. So when we get back from the break, we are going to be extending this idea a little bit more with our very special guest, Brett Tabke, the founder of PubCon. Now, Brett is uniquely situated in the online marketing space since he runs a premier conference that focuses on things like SEO, on social, and other items related to how to extend your online marketing. He's really able to understand what those trends are that are coming out. So for this episode, we're going to interview Brett Tapke so that you can learn a little bit more about some trends that you should be addressing over the summertime. So stay tuned. The Digital Entrepreneur is brought to you by the all-new StudioPress Sites, a turnkey solution that combines the ease of an all-in-one website builder with the flexible power of WordPress. It's perfect for bloggers, podcasters, and affiliate marketers, as well as those selling physical goods, digital downloads, and membership programs. If you're ready to take your WordPress site to the next level, see for yourself why over 200,000 website owners trust StudioPress. Go to rainmaker.fm/StudioPress right now. That's rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. Welcome back from the break, everyone. And Jessica, it is time for you to introduce our very, very special guest.
We have Brett Tapke. He has worked in the computer industry for 3 decades. He's currently the CEO and founder of PubCon, and he's also the founder of PhD Software Systems, which produced a line of software for Commodore computers in the 80s and 90s. If you've ever used the terms link farm or SERP, he's the guy to thank for that. He coined them. Brett, we are so excited to have you.
Well, thank you guys for having me on here. I think the world of what you guys have done over the last few years is major changes in the industry, and you guys are really reflecting what's going on out there today with blogging and content marketing and, to a lesser degree, SEO, kind of.
That's right. You know, Brett, I think you are unique for this particular episode because of the fact that if anyone who knows you or knows about you, PubCon is probably one of the preeminent events in our space, especially in online marketing, because it really started with the webmasters and SEO and social media as it evolved over. And you're really sitting at that epicenter of what is happening in the future. So I want to go into the first question with you, knowing that we're both SEO guys.
Right.
I wrote a post a couple of years ago that said SEO is dead. Not the tactics, of course, but the term, because all the SEO people that I know are now called content marketers. So let's go after SEO. What is happening with the SEO world right now? I mean, what should our audience be thinking about for the coming months and years when it comes to search engine optimization?
Well, the biggest change the last few years that you mentioned is content marketing. Everybody's coming at it from two different sides. They're coming at it from the technical side. If you look around the SEO space, you see a lot of people talking about audits and understanding what's going on their own website. We're getting back to a time where, you know, on-the-page optimization is one of the major things you can control. So everybody's going back to the basics and getting that right. So you see all these people advertising for audits, SEO audits. I was just on Facebook and I had to laugh because I saw another one about an hour ago, an ad for an SEO audit company. Well, it's these people trying to get right on their own site because there's only so much that we can manipulate on Google. So right now, the current trends are get right on your own website, get your code right, do whatever you can on your own site, what's in your control, you know, your platform. And on your own platform, content marketing, building an audience, maintaining that audience, providing quality content over the long term to build an audience is kind of the new SEO play. You know, get the links where you can get the links, and you get the links because you got great content. So getting people re-involved on your website is the second big trend. The third big trend, I think, is actually not so much SEO. It's just optimization in general, and that's optimizing all of your channels, whether it be from social, search, email, newsletters, your blog on your website, whatever content points you have, whatever touch points you have with content to your end user. People are just optimizing the heck out of everything today. So,
what are you seeing is happening with the technology of it all? I mean, you've been around for quite some time and have seen a lot of advancements, even just with the hardware side of things. What are you seeing as the up and coming tech tools?
Well, up and coming, the biggest thing that happened in probably the last 10 years has been the push towards VR and what is happening with VR. Probably at least 5 years away from the next major iteration of VR, where They address some of these problems with eyesight and people getting a little bit VR sickness. They say Oculus has a new lens out that bends the light in such a way that people don't get nearly as VR sick as they used to. VR is huge. I almost look at it as a tech end game, whether it stays in this current iteration where you wear something on your face or whether it becomes glasses or it becomes augmented reality. Huge push in this area, and it's clearly the next iteration of technology, I think. The past 10 years, of course, has been all about mobile, touch screens, iPads. The desktop has kind of gotten a bad rap the last 10 years, but, you know, with Microsoft, you know, they're kind of getting their house put back in order with Windows 10 and their new Surface Pro Book. Everyone agrees is one of the best laptops / tablets available today. So we're kind of in this transition period right now where we were seeing these great leaps, like the iPhone was a massive leap going to the touchscreen, ease of use. Joe user could get to it. Joe Sixpack could understand it. I attribute much of the transition towards Apple products. Much of that is just because people didn't know how to use the technology. And Apple was dead easy to use. It never got in your way from getting something accomplished. Windows has caught up with that. You know, the new Windows 10, we fired up a new desktop in here about a week ago, and it took us about an hour to set it up. It used to be you'd get a new Windows phone, Windows desktop 10 years ago, and it'd take you a day just to get it where you could use it. Those days are gone. You know, technology is so ubiquitous, so easy to use now that I think we're into a new era here where the platform just doesn't matter as much anymore. It's all about the interface now. So
another big aspect of PubCon in general is the focus on social, right? And certainly, you know, you had to have and do have a very, very strong SEO track, but then the social track has really gained in popularity. And certainly looking at the way you've adjusted programming over the years, it's taken on different types of emphasis, actually. So talk a little bit about what you see for social media, especially from a marketer's perspective. What are the things coming out for that?
Well, an age here where social has truly matured. You know, you got Facebook, you've got Twitter, LinkedIn, to a lesser degree, Snapchat and Instagram. These platforms are all mature now. So now it's just a matter of maximizing what you can do on them. I know people still look at Twitter as kind of the new kid on the block, but they have a good advertising platform there, and you can truly reach people with it. So I think it's just a matter of kind of tuning into this more and more. Part of the acceleration towards social has been, you know, SEO has gotten pretty hard over the last 5 to 10 years. You know, we lost referrals when they moved to HTTPS, basically lost all of our keyword data coming into our sites, all of our signals that were coming from the search engines. So I think some people turn towards social as a kind of a relief. It was the next thing. So we're going to keep pushing forward on social, whatever's hot, whatever the current topics are. You know, whether that's demographics, psychographics, or just plain organic social, we're going to be there. We actually had more sessions the last 2 to 3 years about social than we did about search.
Yeah, and I've noticed that as a longtime attendee, and it's interesting because I think that goes in hand with that observation is the fact that advertising, right? I mean, we've always had Google and search ads, right, as a foundational layer and certainly a great way to augment an SEO campaign, correct? And now the social media platforms, specifically Facebook being so dominant in that, are really now, you know, catching up and excelling past what you can do with Google. So do you really see that trend? I mean, are you thinking more and more of the organic marketing is let's take care of the basics, but then once we hit the basics, let's go all into advertising?
You know, as an old organic guy, I resist that tendency. But the fact is you can't get the organic traffic out of Google you once did. I don't care how good your SEO is. I don't care how many people you hire to buy links or do whatever they do. You just can't get the traffic out of Google you used to because all that traffic is staying on Google.
Right.
You know, they're hoarding traffic just like never before. Where you go to Facebook and you buy an ad, you can target it right down to, you want to target a 16 to 24 year old teenager or a young college student sitting in a in his mom and dad's basement in Miami, Florida, going to the suburb, and whether he's liberal, whether he's conservative, you know, you can just target right down to the person you want to hit on Facebook. And the advertising is in context, it's respectful, it's opt-in, and the click-through rate is fantastic, the conversion rate is fantastic. I don't know why more search marketers don't play Facebook. The advertising is just amazing on Facebook, so I'm down with it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I think that's where a lot of the shift is going because, you know, content marketing, the real thing that we don't talk about with content marketing is the time factor, right? To be really good at content marketing takes time and the results occur over time. Now, they can be exponential, but you're going to be starting very, very small to see those results. Whereas advertising is literally like taking a whole bunch of fuel to a fire and watching it blow up instantly, right? But then, of course, if you stop paying money, then you stop seeing the results. So there is truly that balance between the organic as that undercurrent and thread versus the fuel on the fire, which is the advertising. Would you say that's a decent observation?
True, but with the advertising, you know your ROI. For every dollar you spend, you absolutely know what your conversion rate is. You can follow it all the way through. So if you need more ROI, throw a little more money at it. You need more conversion, throw more money at it.
Yeah,
well, you can't necessarily throw more content at content marketing.
Right, right. There's a scale.
You can put it out there, but it's no guarantee it's gonna work.
Yeah, no. I hear you. And that's a great observation. But I want to go one step further on that because, you know, so much of the conversation does get dominated with the big channels, right? The Facebook, the Google, right? You know, I mean, these are the ones that really throw in. You know, talk a little bit about second and third tier options, right? And I mean, certainly my friends who are in the search space, which are some of the same friends you have, will say, you know, Bing can really perform very well in very specific circumstances. It's just hard to scale. Some people, you know, like Lisa Beyer, our friend who speaks at PubCon, you know, she's really into Snapchat right now and really sees that as a medium. Talk a little bit about some of these second and third tier. Are there opportunities there?
Oh, absolutely. And certainly some of the secondary social networks like Pinterest or Instagram. I know people pulling major traffic out of Pinterest right now. They find a niche and they start to mine it.
Right.
You know, it's all a matter of what that audience is attracted to. And then when you look at something like what you guys do, a copy blogger, you know, you don't generate just a ton of content for the sake of ton of content. Your content is high quality. You know, Brian laid out a pattern many years ago about high quality content, and you've stuck to that to this day, attracting an audience and delivering. So you got the reputation behind you as well.
So. True. Let's talk about email for a second, because, you know, the core is, speaking of us, I mean, one of the reasons that Brian did such high quality content is he wanted people to subscribe to email. Right. And so, you know, so much of what we do is centered around the email space. Do you think email is still the preferred method for online marketers? Is it the one that we never talk about at conferences, but everybody knows it's the crucial linchpin? I mean, how do you see email marketing in today's world, knowing that we got mobile devices that are coming in and, you know, the Google has changed the way they put promotional messages, et cetera. What do you think about email marketing?
Well, it's fantastic because it's opt-in. You know, you get permission-based marketing and you can track it with click-throughs and open rates. It just comes down to, I think you want to be where your customer is. If your customer loves email, you need to be in email. If they love Pinterest, you need to be on Pinterest. You need to be where your customer is, whether that's on Facebook or LinkedIn or even in the search engine. You just have to be there at all these touch points. So.
Sure. So let's go through what is something in the VR space, because I know you're very passionate about it. And I do want to circle back on that because, you know, you and I have actually had disagreements about the role of VR, right? And I want to hear where, from a marketer's perspective, you really think the VR switch is. Because obviously the people that are going to PubCon are not necessarily going there because of VR. They're going there because they want to learn about how to take communication and put it into these different channels. Talk to us a little bit about the VR and marketers perspective.
Well, first off, I thought VR would progress faster than it is. You know, it took them forever to get that first Oculus out there. So there was a ton of hype. And I think the first iteration it left me disappointed. I thought it'd be cheaper. I thought it'd work on more hardware. I thought it'd just be more effective than a gaming device. And currently, the Oculus as released, it's mostly a gaming device. I envisioned it more housing, you know, being able to view a house from across the country before you buy it, to walk around in that house, or things like Home Away, being able to step into a condo you want to rent for winter vacation. That has not materialized just yet. And there's so many players in the space. The space is actually kind of flooded with players right now. Everybody trying to be an early adopter and be an early breaker in whatever niche they're trying to mine. So I think there's going to be opportunities there, especially in tourism and housing and some recreation as well. Certainly in tourism, you know, and Google is still holding all the cards. They've been kind of quiet player in this. You know, their hands were, they kind of get their hands stung from Google Glass. They don't want to leap again before they're ready. But I think Google is kind of the odd man out here. They don't have a product in the field yet on VR, but I think they will have. And when they do, they've got the ace in the hole called Google Maps and Street View. You know, can you imagine just putting on a headset and kind of walking around your favorite city to go see it? Walking down 6th Street here in Austin or walk through Daly Plaza and have a look. You know?
But that's also the opportunity, though, Brett, if you really think about it, because marketers are content creators, right? They're creating communication that is inspiring action, getting people to move. And certainly, and I think Jessica brought this up on one of our previous episodes, is that, you know, given the fact that there's not a lot of that augmented reality or certainly virtual reality style content out there, if you have an experiential brand or experiential product, and certainly, you know, tourism, home, real estate, things where you get a flavor for it, you know, sometimes throwing a GoPro or putting one of those 360 cameras together and just having that content, granted, maybe to a few set of people, but I bet you anything, those people are highly engaged to buy, right? So maybe a small set, but they may actually convert at a higher rate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your conversion rate in VR right now, I've heard, is quite high. The local guys here playing in the virtual space is amazingly high.
So talk to us a little bit, because speaking of these other devices, you know, I recently got an Alexa from Amazon. Of course, my kids stole that one. And so I had to buy another one for our kitchen so that my wife and I could at least have a way to listen to music, play a timer, get the news and weather, et cetera. And I will say that the Alexa device and the voice category in general is really changing the way that our family interacts with information. You know, and I know some of your staff actually have an Alexa. I mean, you know, talk to us a little bit about that from a marketer's perspective. How do you see these voice-enabled services, with Amazon being a clear leader right now, with Google and Apple certainly to follow suit? How do you think that's going to change in the technology space from a marketer's perspective?
Well, you know, we used to say in the early 2000s, late 90s, there was one rule to e-commerce on the web, and that was make it easy for people to give you money.
Right.
The easier you can make it for people to give you money, the more successful you're going to be. So you look at all these devices like the Amazon push button, where you can order garbage bags. Click the button.
Yeah.
There you go. I just ordered through Alexa. These devices are going to take market share. They're just going to carve out entire segments of market share, from the kitchen to the bathroom, all the textiles, the homeowners. Just amazing to me how much of the market they're going to corner. What that means for us as marketers, I'm not entirely sure yet. I don't see an end game that helps us.
Well, you know, they are coming out. Amazon is introducing this summer the new Show device, which will have video, interactive video.
Right.
And I think that is probably the missing piece, because I've read a lot about the research on voice without an interface to interact with and the limitations thereof. But the moment that you put a video component in, so you could literally say, Alexa, show me how to make, you know, chicken cacciatore, and it pulls up a video to show. And given the price point, especially at $228, because I think you're right, VR had a failure point insofar as the pricing of it, but they had to charge a lot to start with. And as the prices go down, adoption will increase. And I think from the Amazon side, once they introduce that device out there, and certainly Google, knowing that they are truly leaders in artificial intelligence, is probably going to follow suit. And then, of course, Apple will never be left behind. You know, I think that when we add that interactive screen / voice command unit, that may be the chance for marketers to start pumping messages in there, right?
Agreed. Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime you can get a video component in there. And like you say, Google holds the cards on that as well. with their interface to YouTube.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think you're right. I think it's interesting because Google right now, you know, Google for us in the search world has always been the giant of giants, right? But then they are starting to be eclipsed a little bit because there's now new discovery platforms out there. You know, what is it? 43% of all online commerce is going to Amazon, so it's chipping away. And then you have all these voice things and then VR things. But Google still holds huge sources of data. And so at the end of the day, they're not going to go anywhere because they're smart enough to realize they hold that data source.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Google, they're so powerful. They have just so many resources at their disposal.
Well, we're almost to the end, and I want to talk just briefly, and this is a plug, my audience. I will tell you this is a plug only because I love PubCon. Brett literally changed my life because he introduced me to Brian Clark. So I'm telling you now, I'm a huge fan of what you're doing at PubCon, and I want you just briefly to tell us a little bit about PubCon 2017 in Vegas. When? What's the focus? What are you most excited about?
Well, we have 4 days of... Oh, incredible speakers this year. We've got Peter Shankman, who is kicking off our conference. We've got Yoast DeValk, who is most famous for Yoast SEO WordPress plugin. We say it's the most used SEO code on the entire web, and nobody's been able to prove me wrong on that.
Right.
And then we got Gary Elise from Google. We got good old Lee Oden. Lee's been around for years and years. What an incredible speaker that he is. So we've got great representation from Google. We're going to have some folks out from Facebook. We got a couple coming from LinkedIn as well. So we've got this huge set of speakers, almost 175 speakers. Over half are women this year. I don't know if that'll hold true going late into the game as we add a few more speakers, but we're real close to 50% women this year. And again, there's going to be a lot of social, a lot of SEO. Content marketing, of course, is hot again. So, and probably one of our biggest focuses is we're going to reintroduce our in-house track. We had so much call for in-house SEO last year, and we just didn't have the content for it. Several in-house sessions were just packed to the gills. So we're going to go back to getting some of that out this year. So that's kind of Vegas in a nutshell.
When is PubCon Vegas?
November 6th through the 9th.
November 6th through the 9th in the Las Vegas Convention Center. And you can definitely find out more by going to
PubCon.com.
PubCon.com. And folks, I highly, highly recommend this conference. I'm going to give you the secret trick of PubCon, by the way. Brett, you know this, but I'll share this with the audience. One of the things that makes PubCon so unique as a conference is all of the social activities planned around the conference, whether it's the poker tournaments or the happy hours or the search awards, right? They'll be there this year again, as they have in the past. You know,
yep,
there's
the largest awards show. Yep.
So you have all these social events, but here's why that's important. Once you see a speaker present, I will tell you the trick is this. Go to them in these social environments, preferably if they have a cocktail in hand, and walk up to them and say, "I loved your presentation. It changed my life. Do you have a moment to talk to me about X?" And I'm going to tell you now, folks, every speaker for the most part will say, "I am more than happy to do that."
It's true.
So
especially
I think
if you buy them the beer,
especially if you buy them the drink. So if you can, by all means, please take the opportunity to go to PubCon.com and register for November 6th through the 9th in Las Vegas at the Las Vegas Convention Center. You will not be disappointed. Brett, I can't thank you enough for being on the show today, buddy.
Hey, thank you, Sean. Appreciate what you do there at CopyBlogger.
And we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, everyone. This is Sean Jackson, the host of The Digital Entrepreneur. And I want to ask you a simple question. What is your business framework for selling digital goods online? Now, if the question perplexes you, don't worry. You are not alone. Most people don't realize that the most successful digital entrepreneurs have a framework or a general process for creating and selling their digital goods in the online space. And one of the best free resources is Digital Commerce Academy. Digital Commerce Academy combines online learning with case studies and webinars created by people who make a living selling digital goods online. And the best part
is that this material is free when you register. Are you interested in joining? Well, I'll make it easy for you. If you're listening to the show on your phone and are in the continental United States, I want you to send a text message to 313131 with the keyword digits, D-I-G-I-T-S. And when you send that text message, we will send you a link to the registration form right to your phone. Are you outside the United States? Don't worry. Just send us an email to digits@rainmaker.fm. Either way, we'll send you a link to the registration form so that you can sign up for free for Digital Commerce Academy. And as a special bonus, we will also subscribe you to our newsletter when you text or email us so that you can stay informed with the latest insights from the show. And don't worry, we respect your privacy and we will not share your email or phone number, and you can easily unsubscribe at any time. So if you want to start building or improving your framework for selling digital goods online, then please send a text to 313131 with the keyword digits, or send us an email at digits@rainmaker.fm. You won't be disappointed. Welcome back from the break, everyone. And usually at this point in the show, we normally talk about tools, tips, and tactics, and then, of course, introduce our question for the week. However, folks, we're going to take some time off this summer. And in doing so, we don't want to leave you hanging. We want to give you something from the show that are our favorites that we have recorded that may be of benefit. So if you haven't listened to the show from its entirety, if you are looking for shows maybe to catch up on, Jess and I are going to put out our recommendations for some shows that we especially enjoyed and thought were useful and insightful. So Jess, what are some shows you think our audience should be listening to or repeat the listening of from what we've done in the past?
Summer school stuff. I love it. You know, I gotta go both sides. I gotta go free. I gotta go paid.
Okay.
So, you know, for the free side, does SEO still matter? I love that interview with Eric.
Yeah, that was a big one for us. He had a lot of great insight into where SEO is going. I think SEO is still a very important part of the online strategy. And Eric is certainly an expert, a recognized expert in that field. Good call there. What else you got?
And then I got to go paid. I got to go with my guy, Sean Dolan from Pushfire, the one that we did Simple PPC.
Yeah. You know, PPC, it was funny in this interview that we've had with Brett Tapke, you know, he talked about, you know, just why the paid advertising is just taking off and with the ROI being so trackable. So if you have not been doing PPC or if you've been experimenting with it, that episode in particular is one that really holds your hand almost. And Sean does a great job of explaining both interesting case studies and nuances to help you with your online ad campaigns, and his story about how he was able to throw together an ad campaign literally in a couple of hours and generate $100,000 in business for Pushfire. That was incredible.
Yeah, he's pretty smart.
Well, I'm going to take a slightly different angle, because the ones that I really enjoyed doing was the first one, I think, which was recent, was A Different Way to Think About Your Online Competition. That was an interview we did with John Henshaw. And the reason I like that episode with John is John was certainly a pioneer and is a pioneer, but was introduced a tool called Raven into the marketplace to help you manage your online marketing, your SEO marketing, and it faced a lot of competition, made a lot of mistakes, did a lot of things right, and really that journey that he went on and how he thought about competition and what he would do different, you know, hindsight being 2020. I really liked that one.
Yeah, I liked it too. Not all competition is a bad thing.
That's right. And the other one to go in line with that is, does email marketing still work? You know, it's really the bread and butter of all online marketers is their email marketing. I mean, it just is the cornerstone by which so much results are generated from. And in that episode, we actually interviewed Darren Vesterfeld of ConvertKit, which has seen phenomenal growth in their tool, which is related to email marketing. But here's what really got me about that interview. The strategy he used, literally, the strategy that took them from $100,000 a month in recurring revenue to almost $700,000, over $600,000 easily a month in recurring revenue in 1 year, $100,000 to $600,000, almost $700,000 in 1 year, was done simply by doing webinars every single week with one guy focusing on sharing valuable information for free. No sales pitch, no, hey, sign up now, etc. Just sharing and sharing and sharing. And the strategy he used on that one, Jess, blew me away because it was nothing magical other than just showing up and doing it consistently.
And that Daryl guy, wicked smart.
Wicked smart. Wicked smart.
Wicked smart.
Alrighty, folks. This will be our last episode for a while. I promise we will not leave you hanging in the future. We will be back with new interviews, new insights, and new things to share. And take some time in the summer to really concentrate on yourself and your efforts. Really take this time to listen to some shows like The Digital Entrepreneur. Do your research. Get geared up. Get rejuvenated. Get a little bit energy, right? No, there's always going to be good times and there's going to be bad times, but it's always the time to be thinking about your future. And this show and other shows on Rainmaker.fm can certainly help. So, Jess, any parting thoughts for our mid-year show?
You know, guys, when in doubt, test. Just try it. I mean, what do you got to lose?
That's a good way. Take the time this summer to do a little testing. I think that's a good way to end the show. Everyone have a great summer, and we will be back starting in the fall.
Thanks for listening.